Our next speaker this morning is Linda McCannell, and Linda McCannell is a registered nurse at Richmond Health Authority and has been working there in public health and in communicable diseases for 15 years. Linda's also a member of the HPV working group in British Columbia, and she'll be reporting to us on the lessons learned in BC from year one of the program.
As Monica said, and this what I'm presenting today is comes with the input from all the regions of the province, so it isn't just reflecting Richmond's successes. Yeah. So we learned quite a bit with implementing a new program. And today I'll just speak about some of the challenges, the specific issues about the vaccine, the lessons we learned, where we're going forward for next year. As any of the nurses who happen to be involved in this program, you know the extra vaccine meant a storage issue. It meant a major issue carrying all this vaccine out to your schools. The fact that the vaccine all came in individual boxes meant you had a heck of a storage issue in your coolers, and that you had a lot of wastage getting rid of all those boxes. Nurses were exhausted doing another vaccine. For some, there was a change in practice of now giving four vaccines at once and figuring out how what was the most effective way to do that, carrying it all. They were tired. They're tired now. The mature minor consent created issues in some regions of the province. There were some school boards, some schools that wouldn't allow nurses to do mature minor consent. Mature minor consent for the grade nines also took a lot more time, took more nursing time, took more resources on the day of the clinic to be able to achieve that. So, now, our documentation registry, whether it be IFIS or Paris, meant there were challenges. You got lists from school boards, which could differ from the lists that came from the schools. The support staff had to enroll all the students in your electronic database. Then it took a lot of time for the nurses to enter what they had administered that day. So, lot of time. It's hard to get it done in a timely manner. So the clerks getting the lists had to get those lists into the database before the nurses could chart, or for some places like Richmond, before you had a consent. So it was a time factor. It was a lot of pressure. The new guidelines in nursing practice, some nurses had not experienced the fact that you were not to withdraw when you're giving an IM. The fact that there was a stronger recommendation of observing for 15 minutes all the students, how we set up places where that could happen. So there's a little bit of change in practice. What we'll talk about later is also the assessing for pregnancy. That was new. Relationships with schools was essential. We had to get three vaccines in the period of the school year. Different schools have different professional days, different lunch hours, different recesses. So it was all that logistics that the nurses had to figure out for their teams to go out to the schools. So it wasn't a simple procedure. They also had to make sure that the schools did not change their dates for school sports day or something at the last minute, because that would affect when they had to do the next, their second or third clinic. So there was all the logistics. Nurses also had to deal with media coverage. There was a lot of hype out there, a lot of myths. Nurses had to present the facts. They had to try and normalize this vaccine. So they were dealing with a lot of questions, both by staff at schools, and by parents. So some of the media stuff didn't help us. Then there was, if I endorse my child to have this vaccine, that means I'm endorsing them being sexually active. So again, the nurses had to give the message that this is a vaccine to prevent cancer. We had the facts of the McCrurie report to say, no, the studies show that giving children information does not promote sexual activity. So, but it was a lot of education the nurses had to keep giving. We found that there were some champions for vaccine. And if you had a champion in your community and you used them, often they were physicians, it really made the results much more promising that the students would get their shots. Influencers can be positive and negative. You can have principals, teachers, physicians, religious people who may not support it. So you can have an influencer in a negative way or in a positive way. So we really need to identify who our influencers are, who are champions, and work with those that we can. Well, we had many challenges in the province with the consent forms. HPV was a separate consent form for most places, and they didn't come back. So then the nurses were phoning to find out why. The rest of the consents came back, but not HPV. So it meant a lot of contact, a lot of work to get them back. You didn't get enough. So many places were Xeroxing consents to send out. So the quality then of a Xerox copy, not as good. The consents didn't arrive in some places early enough. So it was a challenge to get them out and get them back before your first clinics. There was no identifiers for males and females. And you couldn't tell from a student's name what sex they were. So it was difficult to know who was to get the HPV consent. And in general, there was a lower rate of return for the HPV.